Home Builder's Worksheet on one side, part one, part two. These are things for you to look at, the circle to think about, and to kind of check off and to do a self-evaluation on your home and your personal part role in the home. Got a couple left, so if anybody needs one, there's still some here, and if you need one, please feel free to grab one. Anybody else? All right. Everybody? All right. You young guys, you really want to pay attention here. All right. Okay. And we'll get started. Now, I don't know where Hannah is. She might have gone to the class that she used to teach. She really needs this, so I might have to just give this to her one-on-one. But, there she is right there. You got your own paper? Okay, good. Well, pay attention. You might want to sit on the front row so you can pay better attention. All right. This is on the subject of wives. We've been talking about the children. We've been talking about the husbands. And we're kind of going backwards because children are in chapter 6, verse 1. Husbands are further down in chapter 5. And so we kind of went backwards, but that's just the way it worked out for us. And then next week we'll go back to parents as a whole in chapter 6 again. But in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. So the first thing I want to show you is that submission is something for everyone, and yet there are roles that we play. There are positions that we are expected to play as human beings. And so verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So that's the passage we're looking at, and this is certainly not politically correct in some circles, but that's okay. We're using the Bible, right? We're Christians. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where I want to go next. Keep your finger in Ephesians 5, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and that's on the other side of the paper in case you didn't notice, but that's where we're at, the outline we're following here. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 1, be followers of me even as I also am of Christ. And then verse 3 says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, according to verse 3, what is the order here? It's God, and then Christ, and then the man, and then the woman. Boy, that doesn't set well, does it? I mean, you know, you're at the bottom of the ladder here. Well, don't think of it that way. Let me ask you a question. Is Christ and God equal? Are they of equal value? Yeah. God the Father, God the Son, they're equal value. But they are not the same necessarily in every role that they play or every part. And it's hard for me to explain the Trinity, but we understand that God and Christ are equal and equal in value, but they play a different role. Christ submitted to the authority of his Father. He said, not my will, but thine be done. That was a submission on his part. He didn't have to do that, but he did it. And so that's God's due order. And when you get out of order, now I want to say, just doing a thumbnail sketch of American history, for instance, over 100 years ago or around 100 years ago, there was even before that, I think there was a women's suffrage movement where women had the right to vote, and it started, I think, in Wyoming. It was the first state to pass that, and women's right to vote. Now, you say, well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that necessarily, other than it's just an indicator of the way our country was going. In other words, when our founding fathers, okay, when our founding fathers began this country, I think they were more in charge of their home and had a happy home, not necessarily every one of them, but they had a patriarchal understanding according to the Word of God. And so men were the ones that did the voting. You know why that is? Because our entire nation was set up with a representation type system. You know, the idea of representative. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. When we pledge the flag, we don't say unto the democracy. We say to the republic. The idea of a republic is that you have representative. Well, you know who the representative of the home was? It was the father. But as families started to crumble, women felt like they didn't have a voice because the men weren't doing their job, okay? Because if you'd have asked George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, why don't you let women vote? They'd say, because that would just be doubling the numbers. It's hard enough to count the vote singular. Now you got to double, because the women would just vote what their husbands were going to vote back then. Now, so it's not wrong necessarily that they had the right to vote. It's just an indication of the way we're going. It says in Isaiah chapter 3 that, you know, the symptom of the nation slipping is that children and women are in charge, because the men aren't in charge. Over in Belarus, in Europe, where my brother-in-law is at, he said, you know, I heard this a long time ago, that a lot of the men are just drunk all the time. No wonder the women are taking charge. No wonder the women are making decisions, because the men aren't doing their job, okay? And then as time progressed, you could see like the I think if I'm not mistaken, the prohibition movement was mainly led by women. That wasn't a bad idea, and I'm sure they're trying to get rid of the alcohol. But of course, it didn't work. It just turned into a lot of bootlegging and underground stuff, and so they flipped that around. The point is that here we are, and I think we're on the cusp now of having a woman president. All right. And this is just not the way it's supposed to be. Now, I want to say this. We have a woman governor, all right? She's more manly than a lot of the other governors that we have in this country, okay? But she is a woman, and it's too bad that there isn't a man. I mean, she's better than the man we had before, all right? She's a better governor than the man we had in there before. This is not a slap on women at all. I'm just showing you what the Bible says. And especially in the Bible and in life, in church, you see women pastors. The Bible doesn't allow for that, okay? It even speaks against it. And it's not because God has a problem with women. It's because God has a problem with men not being the men that they should be, all right? And so when you see even Deborah or some of these women in the Bible that had to have a leadership position, it's only because there was a real lack of leadership in the men department, all right? So understand here, well, this is not a slap on women in any way. However, back in Genesis chapter 3, God did tell Eve that because of sin and because of disobedience, she would be subject to her husband. And that was the due order God had set up. Not that she wouldn't be equal or of the same value, though. And an honorable, blessed attitude that should be in every wife and every woman is a submissive spirit. James 4:10 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. And we should humble ourselves before the Lord and be submissive and have a more honorable and blessed position and life because of it. Letter C, submission is for every Christian. It's not just for women. Did you notice the first verse we read, verse 21? Submit yourselves one to another, all right, in the fear of the Lord. You know, submission is for every Christian. As a matter of fact, you didn't get saved until you submitted. All right. If you didn't submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and you didn't humbly come to him knowing you needed him, man, woman, child, we have to submit to the Lord, to the fact that we are sinners and he is righteous and he's the one that saves us. In fact, Romans chapter 10, we'll just turn there. We're not far from there. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See that? The Jews would not submit themselves. They had self-righteousness and trusting the law and the Ten Commandments and all that they were trying to live by. Verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So it's a matter of submission to Christ. You were raised in a religious background, but it's not Christ. You're trusting in your good works. Maybe you were raised in a Catholic church and you're trusting in all the sacraments that you've gone through and all the catechisms and all the whatever it was. But you're not trusting in Christ. That's a lack of submission to Christ, all right? So even salvation, the very beginning of our Christian life starts out with submission. I'm a sinner. I need salvation. It doesn't matter how many good works I've done. It doesn't matter how I compare myself with someone else. I still need to submit to the truth, all right? So submission is for every Christian, and it has to be in our churches. Look at Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews 13. Every one of us have to practice submission, all right? And Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy salute you. In verse 7, remember them, pray for them that have the rule over you. Verse 24, salute or respect them. Yesterday, I walked into Ace Hardware, and Bruce saluted me in a strange way, but he saluted me. I don't think that when the pastor walks in the door, you're supposed to, but the idea of respect. That is part of submission, all right? And praying, remembering them, remembering what they said. But then notice verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account. You know, pastors give account for the people he's been given charge over, just like a shepherd gives account for the sheep he was given to watch over. And so I, as a pastor, submit to the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. We all submit to someone. In our churches, there's submission. In our community, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And so we must submit one to another and recognize that we are not any better than anyone else. There's no rank and file. I think it's beautiful if our church is made up of every walk of life that there is. I think it's beautiful in a potluck if you're sitting next to someone who is a whole different lifestyle. Maybe the numbers in their bank account are way different than the numbers in your bank account, but it doesn't matter because you're both saved by grace and of the same family of God. I think it's perfectly fine for former convicts to be sitting next to people who have no idea what that is in the same church, because you're both saved by the grace of God. I think that's great. And by the way, we got a bunch of ex-con, no, just kidding, but that's great, because we're all submissive to another. We're humble. I don't ever want it to be a church full of a bunch of lawyers and doctors, and if you don't fit that, if your car didn't quite match all the other cars in the parking lot, you need to find a different church to go to. That's not it at all. But also in our community, chapter 2 and verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of them that do well. You know, there's one area that is kind of a weakness for a lot of us, especially us guys, probably. Maybe some of the ladies, but those guys that drive around and they got their lights on the top of the car, we don't like those people. I wish they'd go. Why do they got to park in such a hidden spot there on the side of the road? Now, one thing I've never owned, and I have thought about this. I think the first one I ever saw was a relative of mine who was not a Christian. Is something called a radar detector. All right, you ever heard of a radar detector? Now, should a Christian own a radar detector, or should we just obey the law? Probably should just obey the law, all right? Now I'm preaching to myself on this one, because I have a heavy foot sometimes, and there's more than once where probably somebody should have just, nailed me, and I deserved it. But our community, we're to be submissive to authority. I've said this a lot of times because of the illustration that it is, but here in Custer, you know everybody. You kind of know everybody. At least you know who they are. So whenever a cop, and I never use that word, I was taught not to, but whenever an officer or a deputy pulls me over, it's my responsibility to be submissive. Now, I happen to know some of the guys or gals, I happen to know some of the dirt on some of those people. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter. They're the authority, right? And I need to be submissive, as the Bible says, to the law of the land, all right? And so in our churches, there should be submissiveness. In our community, at our workplace, look at verse 18, chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Your boss, all right, at your workplace. Yeah, but my boss is a jerk. Well, that's why it says not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. because we don't always have great, but you know what? We need to be subject. I mean, if we signed up, now, if my boss is trying to get me to do something I shouldn't do, I have right to stand for it. Years ago, my wife stood up to a manager who wanted to change her shift to Sundays. When she took the job, the store didn't even open on Sundays, but now they were changing their open hours to Sundays, and he scheduled it for Sunday, and he knew she didn't want to, and she told him, I'm not going to do that. I wasn't part of the agreement when I signed on. Now, if you signed on and you didn't make, you might have to have a different, you might have to wait a little longer to get that changed, but she had a point, and she stood her ground, and finally the manager gave in. She won. Now, I think there's time for you to stand our ground and stand for what's right, but a lot of times, if you haven't noticed, most of the workplaces, you got a bunch of guys always talking about the management, always talking about the bosses, and a bunch of, you know, armchair quarterbacks and people that can do it better. But that's not submissiveness. And we ought to stop and be thankful we have a job, you know, and be thankful for. And honestly, in a year like 2020, who should be expecting bonuses? Shouldn't we just be thankful we got a job, you know? But anyhow, submissiveness in the workplace, in our churches, in our community, in our work, and then in our homes. And in our homes, the order is the man submits to Christ, and the woman submits to the man, and the children submit to both. And so, wives submit. Number two, unto your own husbands. And the question here in the outline is, are you subject or are you submitted? There's a difference between the two words. They're connected. If you're submitted, then you're subject. But not everybody that's subject is submitted. A couple weeks ago, I was talking about Dave Linville's horse, Skittles. I have no idea if he has a horse named Skittles, but anyhow. And Skittles, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how bad of a horse he was. Just took off running. Now, Dave invites me out again and says, Pastor, I want to show you. Skittles is doing a lot better. And so I go out, and sure enough, Skittles is in the yard, and he says, see, Pastor, watch. Skittles! And Skittles doesn't come. And Dave gets out a bullwhip and cracks that thing. And I mean, it lights that horse up, and that horse gets over there in a hurry. And then he puts this pretty heavy-duty bit in Skittles' mouth, and he yanks on that thing. See? He's submissive. I think Skittles is subject, but I'm not sure he's submissive, all right? You got all that muscle and all that power of that horse under subjection. But I don't see the submissiveness there, you know. Let's get Roy Rogers and Trigger out here, and I'll show you what I mean, you know. You know, Trigger don't need no bullwhip. He didn't, you know, he just obeyed by verbal command, all right? There was a difference there. Now, I hope I illustrate that to you. The difference is being under the power or control of. That's subject. Being under the power or control of. But submit is being yielded to the power or control of. Willingly yielded to it. To God and to man. And the trick is, if you want to say it, the key is it's to God first. It's not really about submitting to your husband, as you recognize in the chapter we read, as unto the Lord. It's to God. We're submitting to Him. And so, are you subject or are you actually submitted? And you know, the heart is what makes the difference. That's why in Proverbs it says, my son, give me thine heart. As a parent, I have a couple kids in the room here. What's important to me is that I have their heart. You know, they're too old, really, for spankings. Don't tell them I said that, because I'm still the boss. But it's not really spankings that's going to do it. It's got to be a heart thing, all right? Give me thine heart. Submission has to be a heart thing, all right? And ladies, you have to recognize the importance of being submitted to God, because being submitted to just the man, it'll be hard because he's not perfect. Now, Dave Sommerdorf put a test here. He says, here's your submission test. How you actually respond or react to something he does that you disagree with. He said, this reveals your heart. How you respond or react to something he does that you disagree with. My wife is a tight wad. She is very frugal. And I'm glad she is. It's a blessing. She is a blessing to be. I'm thankful that she's tight. And we tease her because she's tight. So just the other day, in Friday, we were in Rapid City and we were going to pick up Hannah at the airport. And I said, we got a new car. We've only had it about 3 weeks. And I said, I'm taking it to Sound Pro. What do you need to take it to Sound Pro? Oh, there's a wiring thing I need to have them look at. Well, how long are they going to have it? I said, well, 8:30 till probably noon. 3.5 hours? Why do they need? What are you doing to the car? I said, well, I just want them to do something. And the biggest problem is that we have a truck and a car, and we got to do all of our shopping in Rapid City in the pickup truck. I don't want a Bluetooth. She's trying to figure out, you know, why is it at Sound Pro? I don't want a Bluetooth. I don't need a new stereo system, you know. And she's just kind of mumbling, but she didn't say much. But she's, you know, but she's not throwing a huge fit. But, you know, and we also were going to get tires for the car. And I got out at one place. She said, tires I can understand, but Sound Pro, I don't. You know. Well, here's what was going on. We got this car, and we really like it. But there's one thing it doesn't have that the old car had. It didn't have heated seats, but Sound Pro puts heated seats in. So I was getting heated seats for Christmas, all right? So finally we get the car back, and I said, you're going to like it. Stick a CD in. You will really like the way things sound. You're really going to like it. I mean, we were really leading her on here. So then I got in the truck, and I drove off. And probably 45 minutes later, I get a phone call. Hey, my seat's warm. This is really nice. Now, she was on the verge between subject and submission there. You know, she was a little frustrated. But no, she wasn't. But listen, a test is how you respond or react to something that he does that you disagree with. Brother Sommerdorf, the guy that wrote this, he tells a story of how that he was an assistant to a pastor in Alaska. And he had a full-time job, and he just volunteered his time at the church. And he said he really loved the church, about 75 people. And he said there's one thing about the church that he didn't like, and that is they had like bright red carpet. And then I think they had some kind of orangey colored walls or something. And he said it looked like somebody straight out of Woodstock had designed the color coordination for the church. You know, some hippie dope smoking kid, you know. He said that's the only thing about the church I didn't like. I loved the church, loved the people, loved everything about it, but just the colors. He says, so then we were in a new building project. It's going to be about $500,000, he said. And man, I was excited. But he said, I found out in those 8 years of time, I found out who picked out the red carpet and the orange walls. It's the pastor. So when it was time for the new building project, guess who wanted to be in charge of the design of the and the colors of the pastor? Dave Sommerdorf said that he found out something he didn't know about himself. He found out that he had been subject, but not necessarily submissive, because he started to lead a group to try to build up enough coalition to override the pastor's decision on being in charge of the designing. He said, and I finally had to stand up in my Sunday school class in front of all the adults and tell them, I've been wrong all this time. I haven't been submissive to the authority of the pastor. And he said, that's how you can tell when you respond or react something that you don't agree with. It reveals your heart. Now, there's an exception to that if it's something that is immoral, illegal, unbiblical, or unethical. And along those lines, he said this. He said, ladies, your husband has the right to be stupid. And he said, all the ladies are nodding their head. Yep, that's my husband. He said, they don't have the right to be immoral, illegal, unbiblical, or unethical. But they do have the right to be dumb sometimes. It doesn't mean they should use it as a wild card. Don't forget, I'm dumb, you know. But, you know, let him learn. And it's hard, because if you're the wife, it's hard when he is being stupid. And the same thing with the pastor. The pastor's being stupid, but he's not being immoral, illegal, unbiblical, or unethical. That's hard, but that is submission, all right? And so he said, that's a test. And he said, you have the responsibility to yield to God's authority in your life. And after that, it's God's problem. if I yield to the authority God's placed over me, then after that, it's God. I want to tell you that if more women would yield to their authority, I'll tell you what, it'll rattle some men. Because he said this, and I'm getting ahead of myself in some of this, and it'll be okay, but I'm getting ahead of myself in some of this. But he said something that I know is exactly the case for me. He said, I have no problem when my wife steps into the boxing ring with me, because I'll win every time. If my wife wants to argue with me, I'll win the argument. You know, I'll just start talking about her mother or something like that, you know. But when my wife doesn't argue, when she just submits and leaves it to God and goes in the bedroom and just quietly cries and prays but doesn't want to argue with me, he said, I can't win that. I can't win. That kills me. And there's a verse that goes along with that, and we'll get to it in a second. I got ahead of myself a little bit. But unto your own husbands. So the formula for submission, And I wrote this down, how you respond or react to something he does that you disagree with, all right? But the formula is we obey constituted authority in everything they ask us to do until they ask us to do something that breaks conscience with a higher authority, all right? There are rare exceptions where a husband may be dictating something that's just absolutely wrong. And there, again, I think you know what to do at that point, but number three, and here's what I'm talking about. As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. What does that mean? Well, as if he is the Lord. Whoa! Well, that's what it means. As unto the Lord. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 3. Submission is demonstrated. It's intangible. You can't necessarily handle it or see it until it's demonstrated. And then once it's demonstrated, it's revealed. All right? And it's something that's hidden on the inside, and you find out about it once it's been shown or not shown. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Remember last week we talked about verse number 7? Likewise, ye husbands. And then verse 1, likewise, ye wives. You know why it keeps saying likewise? Because if you go back up into chapter 2, it's about Jesus submitting to his Father and dying for all of us. And so what it's saying here is it's saying, women and men, you are to be likewise submitting, just like Christ was submissive. So chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. You know that women have an amazing power? Now, the world says women have a power, but that's not the power we're talking about, all right? We're not talking about some sensual power here, all right? And that is so Hollywood and so left and so goofy, so twisted, you know? But women do have a power, and that is that they can win their husbands by their conversation, their lifestyle, their testimony. If any obey not the word, the husbands won't obey the Bible, but they will submit to God because of that godly woman. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting of hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. In other words, that's not the power. See, Hollywood says that's the power. Looks, you know, attractiveness, that's the power. No, that's not the power. God's saying there's a different power. Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. And that which is not corruptible, won't get old, you don't have to keep smearing more makeup on. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. That is so opposite of women's lib. But that's how you win. That's how you gain the victory. And her spirit can be as powerful as the Bible. That's pretty strong. But verse 1 says that. Her spirit, her hidden man, can have as much power as the word of God that's not being obeyed, because he can't get over it. The drunk said one time, I had no problem with my wife when she would argue with him all the time, but when she stopped arguing and she started feeding me and loving me and taking care of me, even though I was a drunken slob, that I couldn't handle. That I couldn't fight that. It blew me away. And I think a lot more women would win if they'd learned to submit to God. they'd win a lot more stuff that they never thought they'd get, a lot more of a husband they ever thought they'd have. And Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. Speak thou things which become sound doctrine, the aged man. Be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, and patience. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Did you see what that says at the end of verse 5? So that God's word's not blasphemed. God can't bless you, lady, if you can't submit like you're supposed to. Because you're blaspheming the word of God by your lack of submission. And I think there's a lot of ladies that run around with an excuse in their pocket. But he is this, or he is that, or he did this, or he did that. But that's not the point. There's submission to authority. Children do the same thing with their parents. But my dad, my mom, well, I understand how hard that must be. But the word of God is still the word of God, and it's being blasphemed, and we aren't playing our position. Remember this phrase, play your own position and mind your own business. If you're the husband, be the husband. If you're the wife, be the wife. But if you're the wife, don't try to be the husband. If you're the child, don't try to be the parent. Just be the child. If you're the pastor, be a pastor. But if you're not the pastor, don't try to be the pastor. I just heard there was a pastor's wife that called my wife this last week. They had a business meeting at their church, and they asked the pastor to step out of the room for a minute so that they could discuss his salary. When they stepped back in the room, nothing was said. But one of the deacons pulled the pastor to the side after church and said, hey, I just want you to know, so-and-so stood up and was trying to get rid of you. Not just discuss your salary, but trying to get rid of you. Well, you know, that's not good. That's a problem. And I think the problem finally left the church, you know, when the church said, no, we're not doing that. But, you know, there's a role to play. And when we get out of position, when we decide we can do it better, and we get ourselves all puffed up with pride that we could do it better, that's not our job. That's God's job. And we need to be careful that we just play our position and not be a bad testimony that the word of God is blasphemed. And notice in this passage, always look to the elders for counsel. And it doesn't necessarily mean just the people with more age, but the people with maturity. If there's a Christian man or woman in your church, you might want to ask them, so how would you suggest and what would you advise here in this situation? And how could you help me with this as I deal with this issue in my family? And that's something you can certainly do. The Bible tells us that the communication between the older and the younger, that they can teach the younger. So let me encourage you with that. And then lastly, back in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, it says, wives submit, husband is the head. Verse 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. Ugh. Whoa. Tough. I mean, because I'll be honest, and you can say the same thing about me, but I have observed husbands and wives in our church, and I can tell you for a fact that there are some things that I think the wife might actually know more than the husband in a certain subject. She might actually be more knowledgeable, but you know what? It says in every, now, back in verse 21, submit yourselves one to another. I tell you what, there's a lot of things, especially with this heated seat thing. I didn't tell her how much it cost, okay? We'll wait till later to talk about that, all right? But I knew she'd like it. But if I had gone to her and said, is it okay if I spend this much for you to have heated seats? She wouldn't like that. So sometimes I just got to do it without asking, you know, and giving her. But I love to know what she thinks because I love to hear her opinion on stuff. But that doesn't mean I let her be the husband. And when it's all said and done, and she'll remind me of this from time to time, when it's all said and done, I'm the responsible one. If it was a dumb idea, even if I got it from her, it's still my fault. You think you want an example in the Bible of that? Read the story of Adam and Eve. Who came up with the dumb idea first? The wife. But who does the Bible hold responsible? Adam. It says in the book of Romans, one man sinned, and that's how sin got into the world. Because God laid it on the man. Okay? If the family's not doing well and the marriage isn't quite right, men are still the responsible party. But ladies, if you're not doing your job and playing your position, it just compounds it. And I will say this. I think a lot of times children are a reflection of what we are. We started out talking about how that we're all supposed to be submissive. Well, if you have a bad attitude or you've got a real problem with authority in your life, it'll show up in your children. And a lot of times we realize kind of too late, my kid's just like me, you know? My kid reminds me of me, you know? But the more we rebel or don't submit to God's authority in our life, it will show up. But I love the illustration, and I'm going to have to stop because we're almost out of time. But I love the illustration that Dave Sommerdorf uses in this subject. He said, I liken the understanding of submission to authority for a wife with a husband, I liken it to riding on the back of a motorcycle. He said, I love motorcycles. I have ridden many bikes. I love riding motorcycles. But he said, I'll tell you one thing, I will never ride on the back of a motorcycle. Because when you're on the back of a motorcycle, you have no control at all. You are totally at the mercy of the person holding the handlebars. And he said, ladies, that's kind of what this is like. It's totally his control. And it's hard for ladies to handle that. He said, I get it, because I would never ride on the back of a motorcycle, because that would scare me to death. My whole life's in his hands. But he said, ladies, this is what it's like. Now listen to the illustration. He said, ladies, here's what I learned to do. When I made the mistake on riding on the back of a bike with a friend one time or twice, he said, here's what I learned to do. Number one, I prayed like I've never prayed before. He said, as a matter of fact, I was confessing all the sins I could think of. And as a matter of fact, I was confessing all the sins that the driver had done. I was so scared. Isn't that a good illustration? I mean, you're praying. He's got the hand. He's in charge. Yeah, so pray. He said, not only that, but I got closer. I got closer to the driver. I held on tighter. Maybe even kind of, you know, give him a squeeze or a little tap on the shoulder or ribs or whatever and try to whisper in his ear maybe. Talk to him, you know. But he said, I'll tell you this, one thing I didn't do, no matter how scared or how upset I was with how fast or how crazy he was going, the one thing I didn't do was reach over the top of his shoulders and try to grab onto the handlebars. He said, because if you do that, you will wreck the whole thing. Now, isn't that a good illustration? Because how many times has a wife seen something she thought was wrong and she's reached over to try to make it right and take authority that's not hers, and now it's a complete wipeout? And I think that's a good illustration. And I hope the husbands get the illustration too. And I'll be honest, it wasn't motorcycle for me, but it was snowmobile. All right? And I had somebody on the back that was absolutely scared to death. This was different than a horse and buggy. And she didn't like it. We have to remember and be very submissive to what we're doing as men. And ladies, if you think there's a problem, pray for him. Encourage him, talk to him, pray for him, pray for yourselves, but don't try to take control. And so here we see in our third section, wives submit. And when you do it, God will bless. And when it all, when everybody plays their position, it'll be a wonderful blessing, and the whole family will be blessed. And Proverbs 31 is a great chapter for any woman to memorize, to read and read over and over again. I encourage you to do so. We're out of time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the Word. We thank you for opportunity to open it and read from it. Help us to learn. Help us to be better families as a result of obeying your Word. And we ask that you would just do that in our hearts and minds, that you would just break our pride and show us where we are blind to our own sin. And help us to play our position as you'd have us to play it. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget the practice, the music practice in the piano room. We are dismissed.